up listening to Kolamah, Meir Stein, Nikudash, Shalosh FM, Mitch Murnick here, Ba'upan, in the studio. And this is Sunday today. We had a fantastic concert last night with Nigunala. So definitely check the podcast out at kolramah.us because Nigunala really was rocking the house. What a group of kids from Israel made it here on their own, with supervision, of course, but just their families raised the funds to get them here and gave a beautiful, beautiful concert. They are going to be at BJ Synagogue in a few days down in New York City. So I do hope you get to see them then. So we're here in the studio with a good friend of Kolramah, Rabbi Jeremy Kalmanovsky, and really so happy to have him here, one of the stalwarts of Parsha Talk. You may have heard of that, our weekly Parsha series.
Best Torah podcast in Dutchess County.
I'm telling you, we're going to get an award for that. And great to have you here. And I know you're a friend of radio's, and today I asked you to come because you're back from what to me is always an interesting trip.
Well, it's great to be here. Kolramah, Meo Shlaim Nikadash Shalosh FM.
Margishim Kayetz Ba'avir.
Margishim Kayetz Ba'avir. That's it. Yeah, so I'm just back now. We had a synagogue trip, my synagogue on Chesed. We brought 27 or 8 people along with us to Poland. We were there for the Krakow Jewish Culture Festival, which has been going on for 27 years, which was a mind-blowing experience. There aren't that many Jews left in Poland. Unfortunately, as everybody knows, millions upon millions were murdered in the World War II era. But especially, there are some who have returned and have hung on. There are many, many people who discover that they have Jewish ancestry that was hidden from them. They didn't even know by their parents under the communist period. Their parents or grandparents didn't even tell them. And many liberal Poles are interested in partly feeling of guilt and regret. They're interested in preserving remnants of Jewish life. So we were in Krakow, we were in Warsaw, and we also visited one concentration camp. I saw, by the way, when I was in the trip, I ran into some Ramah Seminar kids. Lots of kids that I've known from CRB, so they were on their Poland experience as well.
I don't know, maybe I'd say 2 years ago or so, the president of our camp, Dr. Hugh Pollack, who happens to be a member of the synagogue I attend, Town and Village Synagogue, and a friend, come back from Poland and gave a talk in the synagogue, and basically the take-home message was that there is a Jewish life at this time in Poland, that it's not totally dead. And so the whole situation is kind of hard for me to wrap my head around. Of course, I have not been to Poland yet.
Jewish life is definitely not dead, although people shouldn't think that. You know, the Jewish community is really flowering and coming back to life, as one finds, for example, in Germany. There's a great many people from the former Soviet Union who live in Germany who are contributing to Jewish life, and Israelis. In Poland, it's much, much smaller. There are a number of, I think, more isolated stories of, you know, people who... So, for example, in Warsaw, there's both an Orthodox, functioning Orthodox synagogue and a Reform or progressive synagogue, both of which have rabbis. And in Krakow, there's a progressive community and a handful of Orthodox communities. And one of the stories that we heard repeatedly was, you know, that somebody comes in and they've just discovered this background. Or as Michael Shudrick, the rabbi of the Orthodox synagogue in Warsaw, told us, you know, people will come in with these kind of familiar stories about, I didn't know we were Jewish, but every Friday night we had a family dinner and, you know, stuff like that. And so people are rediscovering the fact that they have Jewish ancestry, and are seeking some way to put that into practice. In the Krakow JCC, that's a very vibrant organization. I don't want to overstate it. It's a lot of American support. So it's not just like, you know, the community taking wing itself on its own two feet, so to speak, or its own two wings. But it creates the possibility for people of Jewish ancestry, and if we care about each and every last Jew, as we certainly should care about each and every last member of Am Yisrael, then it's an amazing thing that under the least possible hospitable circumstances, the least possible promising circumstances, there is an avenue for people to recover some identification with Am Yisrael. And let me tell you, Poland is, you know, I don't know what other people's experiences are. It's not easy. Everywhere you go in Poland, you know that you're stepping on a graveyard. Everywhere you go in Poland, every city you go to, you know that, oh, there were many tens of thousands of Jews who lived in this town or in that town, and they were murdered, you know. So it's a heartbreaking place. Auschwitz is a mind-blowingly terrible place. Not that it's a bad exhibit or something like that, but when you become aware of just how much misery and how much murder there was at Auschwitz, which is not even to, you know, it's not the only place. There were, you know, plenty of murder at Treblinka, Chełmno, Majdanek, and not only in concentration camps, but also just in the towns where people were murdered. The misery of the World War II period is just incalculable. It's what the Bible calls, you know, Hester Panim, God's face being hidden. So it's hard, and all of that makes the Jewish life under a very great cloud and shadow. And yet the fact that there are individuals who are seeking to reconnect with this piece of themselves, that makes it all the more powerful. Even if it's not a mass phenomenon, each and every one is still beautiful.
The reason for your visit at this time was the music festival, is that correct?
The reason we picked that week was to participate in the Krakow Jewish Culture Festival. We had some people in the shul who wanted to make this trip, and so we had a nice turnout.
The Culture Festival. I know some musicians who have been involved with that, the musicians on the klezmer scene here in the States, and they go there and participate. Tell me about this Jewish cultural festival.
Well, I have to say, I don't know a ton about it. It was, interestingly enough, founded 27 years ago by a non-Jew. His name was Janosz Makusz, and like a lot of liberal Poles, as I mentioned before, is really concerned and, you know, feels the loss in Polish society of all those murdered Jews. And, you know, in Krakow, there's a beautiful piece of public art, which is, I think there were, I forget exactly the number, but let's just say 45,000 murdered Jews, and there are 45 empty chairs in the public square. And Janosz, whom I met and talked to us, he expressed that as a Pole, they very much feel the absence of the Polish Jewish community, as symbolized by those empty chairs. And so 27 years ago, he started this festival, and it is a collection of, like you said, musical acts. There were a lot of Israeli acts. There were klezmer bands. And there were also a number of lectures and intellectual programs. So I saw Israeli and American scholars and teachers there for that as well. And it went over about, I don't know exactly, 3, 4, 5 days.
You know, I have, through my travels in klezmer circles, and I was involved in Klez Camp many years, I met a number of Europeans, non-Jewish, Germans, very involved in Yiddish culture, Yiddish language, Yiddish music, and it is, look, it's a little hard, as I said before, to get my head around the whole thing. And my first thought hearing of this Jewish culture festival in Poland, I heard about it, I don't know, more than 5 years ago, 7 years ago. you know, I have to admit, I haven't been there. I had a negative reaction, like you're putting up a museum, like a, you know, putting up a shelf. Oh, look at the little yidden over there. Look, that's my own personal, I'm not proud of that, but what was your feeling?
Well, you should ask yourself, you know, what's better, the presence of this or the absence? I mean, philo-Semitism, the feeling of non-Jews that we ought to care and we ought to like Jewish culture, and it ought to matter to us that Jewish culture was destroyed. You know, there is a way in which it's weird, right? There is a way in which Poland, with such a tremendous history of anti-Semitism and violence, should the Polish citizens should come to care about this. It's a little weird, admittedly. The number of, which I assume is not large, but, you know, I probably met most of them, these non-Jewish people who are really passionately involved in Jewish culture. It's a little weird, but what would you rather have? Them care about it and try to put up some facsimile of the bygone Jewish culture, or have them not care about it and have it be totally absent? So, you know, on Shabbat, the culture festival is not Shabbat observant by any means. So on Shabbat, in the central, in one of the central squares in Warsaw, there were, you know, Israeli band after Israeli band, and, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 Poles listening to the music and dancing the music. And then at the conclusion of it on Saturday night, the culture festival ended with the person I mentioned, Rabbi Michael Shudrick, getting up on the bima with some other Haredi. He's not Haredi, he's a modern Orthodox guy, but Haredi guys and Hasidim in their long coats and their fur hats, and getting up and making Havdalah in the presence of a few thousand non-Jewish Poles who sang along and celebrated. By the way, he sang along to our Havdalah tune, our Debbie Friedman Havdalah tune. And so what's better, that they should, you know, not be interested in that, or that they should be interested in that? At one level, you just sort of want them to all tear Kriya and sit in the ground and weep for their sins. But I would say that it's all in all moving in its way that they're interested this much.
So how many of your congregants from Anshei Chesed, New York City, go on this, what sounds like a wonderful trip?
It was a good trip. There were 27 or 28 people. By the way, not everybody who was on the trip was a shul member. Some people just, you kind of like fellow travelers, and they heard about it, or their friends invited them along. But we had 27 or 28 people, and there were, because of the culture festival, there were a lot of Americans there. We ran into lots of people we knew, and it was nice.
I know you're on a short time frame, but if I could just ask, did you get a feel for broader Poland? What's going on over there at all, politically?
The
mood is.
Of course, we really only spoke to our people, the kind of Jewishly involved, and the liberal non-Jews who are involved in Jewish life, and they all are extremely. Everyone we met was extremely anxious about the right-wing government. Right-wing government is like openly fascist, not quite as bad as Hungary, but openly fascist and openly hostile to religious and ethnic minorities. There has recently been a law proposed that it become a crime to slander the Polish people, and some of the people that we spoke to expressed anxiety that would extend to like Holocaust researchers stating the facts about Polish involvement in the murders. People are starting to be afraid that the government will interfere in the discourse about the Shoah. By the way, it should be said that Poles, on the one hand, they have always, for the Eastern Bloc countries, I'm told, I learned on this trip, I didn't know before, had a comparatively better relationship to Israel than other of the Soviet Bloc countries back in the Cold War era. But the Poles also, you know, they believed themselves to be the Nazis' first victims. And you know, they have a strong tendency to talk about the Polish victims of the Nazis, not necessarily. We all know that all those 3 million people who were killed were not killed because they were Poles, but they were killed because they were Jewish. So the Poles, I think, have an ambivalent relationship to this kind of suffering.
And even having said that, you still feel that generally positive about the type of culture festival that is developed there yearly.
I think it's better that these liberal people celebrate Jewish culture than ignore it. But I don't want to live in Poland. I think the economy is quite strong, I'm told. But I think that it's still better that the liberal sector of society, even if it's not everybody, the liberal sector of society care about and focus on the events of that period, even if, you know, as a whole, Polish society is probably not the greatest thing that ever was. But truly, I'm not an expert about these matters.
Have you brought any of this to camp? Will you be discussing this at all with any of the campers?
I spoke with some of the students in my groups when I first got here, but I'm just doing it on Kol Ramah. It's the best vessel for anyone to hear.
Rabbi Jeremy Kalmanofsky of Camp Ramah in the Berkshires and Anshe Chesed in the Upper West Side of New York City, recently back from Poland. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us in the studio of the award-winning, and this is our 15th year anniversary, of Radio Kol Ramah 102.3 FM.
Hachi b'bayit ba'olam. Great to be here in back for another summer, back for another kites, Alpayim Mushvasre, here in Camp Ramah.